In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our reading from the Old Testament today is, a familiar story, Moses and the burning bush. Certainly, if you grew up, well, maybe you didn't grow up with it, but you've seen the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. I grew up with it. Every Easter they would show it, it seems like. We'd get home from church at North Macomb Baptist, and we'd be about to the burning bush part at that point. And you have this image of Charlton Heston and talking to God here at the bush. But we kind of lose sight of what's really going on here, I think. Here's Moses, who is, quite frankly, on the lam, trying to beat a murder rap back in Egypt. And he's hiding out in the wilderness with his father-in-law, Jethro. Does everyone else think about the Beverly Hillbillies when you hear Jethro? Out here, keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, and he sees this strange sight, and he goes up, and God says, I want you to go back to Pharaoh. And Moses, it's almost like an action-adventure movie. I'm retired from that. I'm a shepherd now. I'm with sheep. I don't mess with Pharaoh. And besides, I'm wanted for murder back there. Let's not do this, God. And God says, nonsense. You're the person. You're going to go and do this, and you're going to be fine. And you know how I know you're going to be fine? Because I'm going to be with you. See, God sends him to do this seemingly impossible task, but God assures him that God will be with him. God doesn't just send him back on his own. Well, Moses objects. I know, I really don't want to do this. If I went back, who would I even say sent me? There are a lot of gods out there. How am I supposed to identify you? I mean, they worship all kinds of things down in Egypt. And God says, tell them I'm the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I find it interesting that God never mentions being the God of Joseph, who got them into Egypt in the first place. I think there's something there, but I'm not sure exactly what. But I am the God of your ancestors. You can say that I am sent you. The word that God uses here, the fancy name is the Tetragrammaton, which sounds really cool. But it just means the four-letter name, Yahweh. For a long time, people pronounced it as Jehovah. So if you hear Jehovah, that's the same thing. But we understand now it probably was pronounced Yahweh. The reason why we aren't really sure exactly how it's pronounced is because no one ever said it. This was the sacred name of God. In the Ten Commandments, when it says, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, this is the name. And so the thinking was, if you never say it, you can't take it in vain. Seems reasonable. So never ever spoke it out loud. If they were reading scripture and the name came up, they would substitute Elohim, which means the Lord, or Adonai, which means God with us. And in fact, it was taking the vowels from those words and putting them into the Tetragrammaton that we got Jehovah, and they picked the wrong vowels. It's a whole complicated thing. Nonetheless, when God is asked, how should we know you? It is, I am. And it can also be translated, I will be who I will be. All that is. It's this whole idea of being. And it's partly from this, largely from this, that a lot of theologians will talk about God being the foundation of being, the source of existence, that God is. And because God is, we too can be. And this really hits home in the Gospels, especially in John's Gospel, the great I am passages that it talks about there. When Jesus says, I am the vine, I am the good shepherd, I am the gateway, I am the bread. The I am there is rendered in Greek, I'm sorry for getting to the Greek, but it's ego eimi. And really it means I am. Eimi doesn't need ego to make it I. But he puts it in there to emphasize that relationship with God who is the great I am. When Jesus is walking on the water and they think it's a ghost and they say, who is that? And Jesus says, I am. We usually render it in English as I am he because that makes more sense. But it's not what he says. He just says, I am. When Moses asks, who is God? God just says, I am. He doesn't need embellishment. He doesn't need more title than that. God is. Being is because of God. And with that behind you, how could you fear even going to see Pharaoh? Well, Moses has a couple of more objections later on in the reading here about not being able to talk very well and such. But God answers those and Moses goes and we know the rest of the story. They are delivered from the Egyptians. And they do come back and worship on this mountain as God said they would. That this will be the sign that you'll worship me on this mountain. And it's there that God gives the Ten Commandments. That booming voice from the clouds saying, I am the Lord your God. I am. Moses was able to do what Moses did, not because of who Moses was, but because God was with him. Now, I don't think the bush was sitting there waiting for any random shepherd to come by. I think Moses was intentionally picked out. But Moses was just a guy. And yet he was able to go into Egypt, to go back to the house of Pharaoh and to say, let my people go. Not only that, to convince the people that God wanted them to go. I mean, they've been living under oppression and slavery. And this guy shows up and says, hey, I got a message from a burning bush. You should follow me. Well, who are you? But they could tell he was the person that God was with. God had promised to be with Moses, and God was with Moses. And that's the thing. God has promised to be with each one of us. I don't think any of us have been called to go back to our homelands and deliver our people from oppression. It didn't really come up so much anymore, at least in our lives. But God has called us to do some rather difficult tasks. Loving our enemies. Forgiving those who persecute us. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. These are not easy things to do. If anyone's ever cut you off in traffic and you've immediately forgiven them, you're a better person than I am. It's not what comes naturally, but it is what we're called to do and to be. That the source of all being calls us to be in communion with Him and makes that possible despite ourselves, not because of ourselves. We are called just as surely as Moses was called. Erica mentioned in Sunday school, it'd be so much easier if there was a burning bush or something. Less ambiguous. But it's not ambiguous. We are called. We are called to live lives modeled after our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to love one another, to love God, to be people who forgive our enemies, who bless those who persecute us, to not hold grudges, to be Christ in the world. And just as surely as God was with Moses when he went in to face Pharaoh, God is with us when we go in to face the lions at Walmart. We too can be kind and compassionate and patient people with God's help. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.